personify, and I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away. I am cold like December.
By the way, I want to plug Wrestle Rex tonight at Enclave, the former Rex Theater on the South Side. That wrestler, Super Oprah, this giant guy who looks and dresses like Oprah, that's my new favorite wrestler, except I hate wrestling. You can tell if a Pirate fan has been completely brainwashed by the Hillbilly Prince if you are even remotely thinking that it might be a good idea to trade Brian Reynolds now because, and I quote, his value will never be higher, unquote. I see it on Twitter. I see it suggested by the Stooge media, even by the national media, guys like Buster Olney. His trade value will never be higher. F that. We keep hearing the Pirates will be good in a couple years. Reynolds is 27. Reynolds will be in his prime then. You have three more years of control over him, another year in his contract, two more years of arbitration. You need to keep him at least that long. And you certainly need to keep him right now, as opposed to churning talent for a future that never comes, as opposed to trading this Brian Reynolds for the future Brian Reynolds, but you never get proper use out of any Brian Reynolds. If you're serious about winning with this group of prospects, you keep Reynolds, because you can't just win with all young dudes. Now, to be blunt, Reynolds is going to get traded, and maybe this year. If not, he's a free agent in 2026, and there's zero chance he stays. But that's 2026, and the Pirates are supposed to be good in, like, 2024, right? So keep Reynolds. This year, 23, 24, 25. Let him go in 2026. Try to win between now and then. Keep Reynolds, and if you think the Pirates should trade Reynolds, while his value is at its highest, you're a sucker. You're a mark for the Hillbilly Prince. Churn and burn. And guess what?
You just made the list.
Double M on the X. The list brought to you by Armstrong Comfort Solutions and by Matt Mertz Plumbing. We're giving away a family four-pack of tickets to the Riverhounds. They play on Wednesday, July 6th. Highmark Stadium, Station Square at 7 p.m. against Indianapolis. Tickets are available now at riverhounds.com. We're going to give away that family four-pack a little later in the hour. At 5:30, we talked to J.J. Kramer. He's leading the relaunch of Cream Magazine, America's only rock and roll magazine. He's the son of Cream founder Barry Kramer. Going to be great to talk to JJ at 5:30 because Cream Magazine was a must-read for me in my youth and a big influence on my career. Why I do things the way I do. So, among others, blame Cream Magazine, National Lampoon Magazine too, Doug Hirth, Ric Flair, who I can't stand now but was a big influence. You know, it all added up to what I do not know, but it all added up. Talking about the frozen foods, I'm telling you, one thing you can't underestimate is Salisbury steak and meatloaf. I don't know why, but as a frozen food, it heats up just perfectly. It maintains its texture and taste. There's some things that you heat when they're frozen that just aren't ever going to turn out. Like I said, French fries. It's hit or miss, mostly miss. But now this air fryer, which I don't have one of those, I'm told that makes it a brave new world. Even like frozen waffles, which are simple and usually good, they can come out soggy if they've been frozen too long. Got to be real picky with your frozen foods, but I think Salisbury steak / meatloaf is pretty foolproof. Pizza rolls, fish sticks. I would eat a meal right now, every night for a week, of fish sticks, pizza rolls, and Salisbury steak. Wouldn't be too healthy, but I would definitely eat it. Let's go to JP. JP, you're on the Mark Madden Show.
JT or JP?
Whoever you are, talk.
All right, sure. Hey, just so you know, Tin Cup was in 1996 when John Vanderbilt lost in 1999. So it couldn't have been.
Really?
That. Yeah.
Wait, so hold it. Hold it. Say that again. Say that again.
Yeah, go.
Tin Cup came out
John Vanderbilt lost in 1996.
And Vanderbilt blew it in 99?
Yeah.
That was a precursor?
Yeah. No, well, maybe. No. I heard a rumor that David Sims is based off of Phil Mickelson.
But Phil Mickelson's in Tin Cup as well.
Which makes it even funnier that they were making fun of him while he was in the movie.
What golfer was it today said he would never... Fred Couples said he'd never talk to Phil Mickelson again. And somebody who signed, that Perez guy that signed with LIV, is just a speck of sand. Why do these guys care so much if somebody goes to take a better job?
I have no idea. They're getting offered more than Tiger Woods ever made. Why wouldn't you take that?
That's the point.
Right. Well, and the PGA Tour treats them like shit. They have
Goodbye. Bleep that. Dump that. Man, use your head. Show some class. Don't be dinks. Let's go to Roger in Squirrel Hill. Roger, you're on with Double M.
How you doing, babe?
What up?
Hockey movies, or golf movies. I'm thinking, what a Happy Gilmore. Isn't that a golf movie?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, to me, the top three golf movies are probably, in order, Caddyshack, Tin Cup, and Happy Gilmore. I ranked Tin Cup ahead of Happy Gilmore because it had a better story. Happy Gilmore was funnier, but it was kind of like, it wasn't bathroom humor, but it wasn't far from it, was it?
It was just like Adam coming out. He was like, it was like his big bust out, you know, after leaving Saturday Night Live.
No. Billy Madison was before Happy Gilmore.
Well, but it didn't seem to have the right effect. It didn't hit me as funny as Happy Gilmore. But,
yeah, but it did huge box office, huge box office.
Yeah, well, and another question I wanted to ask you was, seems like a lot of hockey GMs are ex-goalies. Is there some kind of weird conspiracy there? You got EJ, you got Rutherford, and you got Ron Hextall. It's like, is that kind of a weird coincidence, or is that just my imagination?
I don't think there is a big template for goalies being GMs anywhere but Pittsburgh. You just named three Pittsburgh GMs, although Jim was GM in Carolina, EJ was GM in... He was coach in Chicago.
Hartford.
I think he might have been GM there too. Hartford, yeah. So I think it's more a Pittsburgh phenomenon than a league phenomenon, because I can't think.
Okay,
Emil Francis was the Rangers GM and later Hartford's GM as well. I don't know.
Right, the cat, yeah.
Oh, you're an old guy. Thank you for the call. Emil the Cat Francis, goalie for the Rangers and later their GM. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. I am off tomorrow through Tuesday. I will be in fabulous Las Vegas, once again missing out on Aerosmith because Tyler's in rehab. I just checked the dates out for Joe Perry's solo shows. I can't go to any of them. Only one's on a weekend, and I have that Three Ice thing in Pittsburgh on the 23rd, so I'm going to go to that. But I'm going to see Sammy Hagar twice in Vegas and also Chris Rock. So I'll have a good time. I'll have a real good time. See my friends who live out there, including the great Sean McDowell. You look at Adam Sandler's filmography. He kind of hit with, Airheads was earlier than I thought. I thought he did a good job there. But Billy Madison in 95 and Gilmore in 96 and then The Wedding Singer in 98 and then The Waterboy in 98. That really broke him through. And some of his later work didn't get the same good reviews and frankly wasn't as good, but I liked Anger Management. At least he got to do a movie with Jack Nicholson. And I really liked, what was that movie where he played the diamond guy who was a junkie gambler? Uncut Gems. I thought that was very, very good. Not exactly a comedy, but I thought it was very, very, very good. 412-333-WXDX. You want to get calls in, get them in now. Because after that, we have J.J. Kramer from Cream Magazine. And then, of course, we'll finish up with Ask Mark Anything. But I still want to know, what do you think the Penguins should do with Malkin and Letang? It's a basic question. It's been around for weeks. But I'm asking you again because I don't know. I'm not sure. 105.90X. Listen, the air is heavy with talk that the Pirates are going to trade Brian Reynolds this year. Even though they still have three more years of control over Brian Reynolds, one more year in the contract he signed earlier this year, and then 2 years of arbitration, It said his value will never be higher, so trade this Brian Reynolds for the next Brian Reynolds, except you never really get maximum use out of any of your Brian Reynoldses. It's the old con game. It's bait and switch. It's selling a future that never gets here. And the Pirates aren't trusted. The Pirates aren't popular. I'm sorry, but no matter what you say, the Pirates aren't popular. There's no metric you can cite that says the Pirates are popular, starting with the fact that they rank third last in MLB in attendance, and you go nuts over nights that are perfect when the Pirates are playing well, when they get 18,000 people, 20,000 people, but the park's still half empty. So the Pirates aren't popular. There's a stupid vocal minority, and I mean very vocal, very loud and very stupid, who just talk about how great the Pirates are and they're going to take over the town, and that's never going to happen. But if you're going to dream, dream big. But if you ever want the Pirates to be popular again, it's not even a matter of winning. They won in 2013, 14, and 15, and they drew good crowds then, but they frittered away all that goodwill at the speed of light by just running it like a Ponzi scheme. So for the Pirates to ever be truly popular again, they have to win back the trust of the city. Are you with me so far? Do you agree? I hope you do. They have to win back the trust of the city. And if they tried Brian Reynolds, that is not winning back the trust of the city. That is a nail in that coffin. So, what I would like to see the Pirates do is not trade Brian Reynolds and say, for the record, whether it's Nutting or Sherrington, we're not going to trade Brian Reynolds. Not this year, not next year. We will keep him as long as he wants to be here or till we force him to through 2 years of arbitration. And maybe you sign him long-term. Probably you don't because I'm sure he wants out. But you have 3 more years of Brian Reynolds, and you said you're going to be good in that time. So keep him and say we're going to keep him. And then don't lie because I'm talking about getting trust back. I'm talking about being popular. I'm talking about selling more tickets. And I'm sorry, no matter what any of you want to say, the Pirates aren't popular. What, just because you like them? They're third last in MLB in attendance. And you might say that's because they're not winning. Well, okay. Doesn't mean they're popular because they're not popular. A couple yokels, a couple yahoos, the stooge media, some Dunsky bloggers, them blowing the Pirates trumpet doesn't equate to popularity. Popularity is about numbers, and the Pirates are third last in MLB in attendance. So I got a way to make it all better. The Pirates just need to say we are not trading Brian Reynolds. Just say it out loud. And then don't get caught in a lie. But you know why they'll never say that? Because they're going to trade Brian Reynolds. And maybe as soon as this year. David Bednar, too. You watch. And the trust ain't there. The popularity ain't there. We've also been talking about Kevin Durant once traded. I think he's a loser. The Warriors won before he got there. They won after he left. Kevin Durant's a loser. He rode the coattails of Draymond, Steph, and Klay Thompson. No question about that in my mind. He put that team together in Brooklyn. Now it's falling apart, and he wants to scurry away like a rat off a sinking ship. He's a great offensive threat, but he's a loser, and he's a man of low integrity. Definitely a man of low integrity. The Big Ten is stealing Southern Cal and UCLA from the Pac, whatever number it is. It'll be down to the Pac-4 soon. What's that do to the Pac, whatever, and what's that do to college football? I don't like it. I like the regional stuff. I like the old bowl game system. I like tradition. What they're doing now, make it into college football super leagues, I don't like. I'm not interested, mainly because I don't have a local interest. Because Pitt's better, but Pitt's an ACC team. Pitt ain't never going to go to the Big Ten, or they would have already. Pitt ain't never going to go to the SEC. They're small potatoes. So if there's a super league like the SEC and now the Big Ten, if there's two super leagues and Pitt isn't in one of those, if I don't have a local interest, why do I care? Why do I care if Pitt wins the AAA championship? Because that's what it's going to be now. If you're not in the Big Ten or SEC, you're really not competing for anything that's important. You're just not. And, of course, the question all day, what do you do with Letang and Malkin? But up next, it's going to be great for me, even if you aren't interested at all. Cream Magazine, America's only rock and roll magazine, is restarting under the guidance of J.J. Kramer, the son of the magazine's founder, Barry Kramer. We'll get the details on that. Cream Magazine, a big influence on me. That's J.J. Kramer up next here on 105.9 The X. Cream Magazine, America's only rock and roll magazine. It was a big read for me in my younger days, and its irreverence and style, a big influence on my career. Now, after a hiatus of over 30 years, Cream is back, and it's a pleasure to talk to Cream's chairman. He is J.J. Kramer. J.J., what's the format for the new Cream Magazine, and what are your expectations?
So the format is twofold. We have a digital presence, which we're calling Fresh Cream, and it'll be essentially one fresh piece of content per day. And that's really building a runway to what we consider the heartbeat of Cream 2.0, which is our quarterly print publication, which we're incredibly excited about. First issue will be in-home in September.
Now, there's never been anything like Cream. Like I said, it was a big part of my life back when, and nothing like the people who wrote for Cream either. How do you duplicate that? And I use the word duplicate advisedly because it can't be the same, but what are you shooting for and who do you got?
Yeah, we are not setting out to try and duplicate anything. You know, a magazine is and always has been a collection of the people who make it, right? And there are so many up-and-coming contributors, writers, editors, photographers out there that we are very excited to work with. So sure, you're going to recognize a couple names in the masthead. We have writers and Cream alumni like Jen Uhelski, who's one of our editors at large, who will be contributing. But we also have really new and very compelling editorial voices that'll be in that first issue.
Well, it's good to hear Jan's back, but I feel you. You got to move forward with any endeavor. And I often wonder how many of the old Cream guys are still around or even still alive. It really is a long time ago, isn't it, JJ?
Yeah, it's certainly been a long time since Cream's first run in golden era, and unfortunately, a lot of those writers and editors and contributors have gone on to rock and roll heaven. But you know that their spirit still looms very large and certainly creates a lot of inspiration for what we're trying to do now.
Is rock and roll the same? Because I'd say no, not really. And I wonder how that changes your approach, especially with the current bands.
Yeah, I think for those that take the stance that rock and roll, that good rock and roll music died in the 70s. We obviously disagree. We're coming at it from a different perspective. We think that rock and roll never went away. It just got harder to find. And that's why Cream is, we're going to make it easier to find it. Music in many ways, especially rock music, has splintered. It's niches and subgenres. And there's really no magazine or website that's really catering to rock and roll as an entire culture, that sort of big tent rock and roll opportunity, and that's where we're going to come in. It's going to be a very thick mix of the old and the new and the in-between and the things that Cream missed in the 33-year hiatus that it was out of print. It's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Now, will any of the same features be back just for old time's sake, like Cream's profile, stuff like that, or is this a whole new start?
Oh, yes. We are not going to try and reinvent franchises that really worked well. So those that read the initial Cream, the original Cream, will certainly be pleased to see, Stars Cars, Cream's Profiles, Cream Dreams, things like that. And we're also going to be introducing some new profiles or some new franchises as well. So we're really excited about it.
We're talking to J.J. Kramer, Cream Magazine, America's only rock and roll magazine, coming back after a 33-year break. Now, your father, Barry, was Cream's founder. How much does this mean to you personally, JJ, in terms of bringing back his legacy and prolonging it?
Oh, man, it means everything. This is something I've literally, without exaggeration, been working on my entire life. When my dad passed away when I was 4.5 years old,
he left Cream to me. So at 4.5, I was chairman of the board of my own rock and roll magazine, which is really cool to talk about at Show and Tell. And, you know, the magazine, you know, soon thereafter, unfortunately, fell on hard times and folded and actually was sold. And then I've spent the better part of my adult life putting the rights to Cream back together. So to get it to this point, you know, after literally 25 plus years is just incredible. And we've really just reached the starting line, you know, like I think what we do from this point on to preserve and pull Cream's legacy forward is going to be not only exciting, but hopefully we'll pay proper homage to, you know, to those that came before us, including my father.
You produced a very insightful documentary on Cream a few years ago. I thought it was brilliantly done. I thought it checked all the boxes in terms of what I remembered and would reminisce about when it comes to Cream. How much did that documentary help get the restart moving forward?
That doc was proof of concept for us for a lot of reasons. You know, first, you know, the reception that we received from not only the audiences, but the critics, the media as well. It was universally well received, and that got people talking. And we learned very quickly what an affinity people still had for the Cream brand. And so all of that really good mojo that we had going on with the documentary, that started to spill over into, oh, hey, I'd love to pick up a Boy Howdy t-shirt. And then that spilled over into, oh, hey, wouldn't it be great if you guys put the archives up online, which we've recently done. Oh, hey, wouldn't it be great if Cream came back? So there was all this momentum that was created that gave us enough proof of concept to say, hey, there's way more here than just the documentary. And so that documentary was in many ways the tip of the spear for us.
Do you get people like me saying how important it was to them back then? I wonder, because like there are times when I write stuff, because I'm a sports writer too, JJ, in addition to a radio host, when I will literally wonder, okay, how would John Mendelsohn approach this, or Jay Kordosh, or guys I read back then, and then I do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we hear words, you know, like when people write us notes about, you know, how excited they are about Cream coming back. You know, they use words like, you know, it was formative. It was inspirational. We also hear words like, you know, Cream poisoned my young, influential mind in the best and worst possible ways. Absolutely. And I think that's really what made Cream so special was I think it had that next level impact on the folks that read it as compared to a lot of other, you know, magazines that were around at the time. I think it was the combination of the humor, the irreverence, the sense of community, and also like the normalizing of rock stars. It sort of brought everybody back to a level playing ground. And I feel like that created this ethos around the magazine that really profoundly impacted people's lives to this day.
Now, this is, I think, unfortunately so, this is the era of cancel culture. In that context, will Cream be the same? Can Cream be the same?
The short answer is yes. I think that there are things that Cream did and said in the 70s that, frankly, it wasn't okay then, and it wouldn't be okay now. But that, you know, that doesn't mean that there isn't plenty of room to just go out and have fun and to knock artists off their pedestals if they deserve to be knocked off their pedestals, or similarly, to champion bands that deserve to be put on a pedestal. Cream leads with its sense of fun. There's really no point in bringing Cream back if we're not going to lean into that. So, you know, are we going out trying to offend folks? Of course not. But is Cream going to be for everybody? No way. And we're fine with that.
Well, I've certainly been impressed so far, JJ. I've been checking out Fresh Cream online. And I'll tell you one headline that jumped right out into the 70s. You guys interviewed John Hinckley Jr., the guy who tried to kill Ronald Reagan, and the headline is, John Hinckley Jr. wants another shot. I love it. That is straight out of the glory days of Cream.
Yes. We're trying to, you know, make the ghost of Lester Bangs smile, you know, from up in rock and roll heaven with headlines like that. And we also just, in vintage Cream fashion, did a record review today for the new Imagine Dragons album. But the one problem was the band team would not release the record to us in advance. So in grand team fashion, we reviewed it anyway. It's certainly that same spirit and energy and just turning normal conventions on their head, having some fun. When's the last time anybody had fun reading about rock and roll music? And that's what we're here to bring back.
JJ, thank you for taking the time and thanks for doing this, bringing Cream back. I can't wait to see what's next and hopefully we'll talk again.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you having me, man.
Cream Magazine, back after 33 years on hiatus. And let me tell you, Cream Magazine is what Rolling Stone is supposed to be. Even more so now that I mean, Cream Magazine always politicized, but it was in a better way than Rolling Stone did when it let the politicizing take over rock and roll. I have utmost confidence in Cream and in JJ. John Uhelski coming back. It's going to be great. What I've seen, I love. So be sure to check out Cream, America's only rock and roll magazine. Up next, it's time to wrap this up and ask Mark anything. So I beg of thee, call now and ask Mark anything. All you got to do is dial 412-333-WXDX. Time now to ask Mark anything. Just dial 412-333-WXDX, or you can ask me anything via the miracle of Twitter. Let's go to Paul in Charlotte, North Carolina. Paul, you're on with Double M.
How are you doing?
Great.
Hey, I was wondering, do you think that Hextall, with his background with the Flyers as a GM and player, would he consider signing Claude Giroux if he can't get Geno signed?
I would hope not. I mean, they're roughly the same age. I got to be honest, I think Claude Giroux's a better player right now than Malkin, but I don't think that's the kind of guy you want to bring in, do you?
Well, he's had some. I thought he played on the same line with Sid in either for Canada or one of the World Cup tournaments.
No, more recently, it's been Sid with Marchand and Bergeron playing for Canada.
Okay. Well, I just thought they can't win the trophy.
If you're going to let Geno go, you want to get younger. Giroux's not making them younger.
Right.
I don't think there's any good way to replace Malkin and Letang. I hope they keep them both, even though I originally thought that it would be a good idea to let Malkin go and keep Letang, but now I'd keep them both. Better the devil you know.
Yeah, I was just thinking the free agents centers, there aren't too many out there. I mean, maybe Kadri and Trocheck if you don't get one of those guys.
Yeah, but you're not going to replace those guys man for man. You think Kadri and Trocheck want to come here? I think Trocheck would. I take that back because he's from here. To be closer to home, but Kadri don't want to come here. And there will be teams that want to pay Trocheck more than Pittsburgh offers. From what I hear, Hextall's not going to offer anybody any more than a three-year deal because Sid has 3 years left on his contract.
Hey Mark, what is Letang and Malkin make combined this year?
Letang made, I think, 7.5. Malkin made 9.25.
$16 million. If Malkin walks, it'd be $9 million in space they would have.
Well, technically, they got all kinds of space because he's not currently under contract to them as of July 13th. But yeah, it would open up if neither of them comes back. That would open up like $16 million cap space, I think.
Well, let's hope that Hextall knows how to use it wisely if that happens.
I don't think he does. Let's go to James in Wilkinsburg. James, ask Mark anything.
Hey, Double M, big fan. Quick question. Let's say the Saudi crown prince came to you and offered you, let's say, $50 million to leave the X and to leave the trip. You take the money?
Yes, absolutely.
Knowing that he's a homicidal maniac.
I don't know that he's a homicidal maniac. I'd have to see proof of that. And in the meantime, I'll take the $50 million. I'd have no problem with it. Just like Phil Mickelson, just like Brooks Koepka, just like Vince McMahon doing business with them, I would take the money because all the stuff you mentioned has nothing to do with me. Why, have you heard there's such an offer that's going to be made? I mean,
I'm hearing that the U.S. government does business with Saudi Arabia, the PGA Tour does business with Saudi Arabia.
Yep, they sure do, don't they? So why wouldn't I?
Yeah, because corporations and governments are amoral actors. whereas individuals can make moral choices.
Yeah, I'm taking the money. Everything they've done wrong has had nothing to do with me. I'm taking the money.
Gotcha. All right.
And wouldn't lose a second sleep about it. Like I said, have you heard there's going to be such an offer? Hello? Boy, there's nothing worse than not knowing. Let's go to Roy in the car. Roy, ask Mark anything.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Roy.
Hey, what are your thoughts on Aaron Lewis, and are you going to see him at the Meadows in August?
Who's Aaron Lewis? I don't know who that is.
The singer of Stained.
No, no interest.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you one Stained song.
Okay. And you forgot one thing off of your frozen foods earlier. What do you think of Stouffer's macaroni and cheese?
Yeah, macaroni and cheese. You have to get the right kind and heat it just right, but there's some potential there, isn't there?
Oh, Stouffer's is the best, my man.
I think macaroni and cheese is better to heat frozen than pasta.
Yes.
The cheese is more reliable coming out of a frozen situation than is red sauce. Thank you for the call. Steve tweets, did you watch the ESPN documentary on the rivalry between the Avalanche and Red Wings? I thought it was well done. I haven't watched it yet. That rivalry was so based on violence that I probably won't enjoy it. I hated that rivalry back when it played live. I just don't like that kind of hockey. Tony asks, can the MLS become bigger than the Champions League over the next 20 years? No. No chance. Not in the next 20, not in the next 50, not in the next million. European soccer is European soccer. It's more popular in America than the MLS. Soccer is more popular in Europe than the U.S. Soccer is more popular. It's the most popular sport everywhere but the U.S. and Canada. Let's go to Daryl and Allison Park. Daryl, you're on with Double M.
Hi, Double M. How are you?
What up?
Hey, can you tell me everything you know about the death of Gino Hernandez?
I saw that Dark Side of the Ring. That knew more than I did. I don't know much. Why? Are you insinuating I know something untoward and aren't telling?
No.
Here's the thing. There was some speculation Gino got killed or that he was forced to overdose on cocaine. From what I hear, Gino was never forced to take a lot of cocaine. That's not funny. It's not funny. He was a great, you know, performer, and it's sad what happened. But you know, I don't buy any conspiracy theories. When a known cocaine user is found dead due to cocaine toxicity, I tend to blame him and the cocaine and nobody else. Let's go to John in Butler. John, ask Mark anything.
Hey, Mark, big fan.
Thank you very little.
I was always a big fan of Cream because they had smart articles. The articles these days are snarky. They were smart back in the day, quick-witted. They had better writers back then, too.
Oh, Mendelsohn, Kordosh, Lester Bangs, of course, was the early and the legendary. I wish I could remember more of the names now.
But they were smart, quick-witted. There was no bent. They had a sarcastic wit to them, and that was it. And then they went to the next subject. It's just so much better than it is now. Political humor and all that, what it is now. It's horrible. But
well, again, we'll see how it does in its new format and all these years later. But I got to tell you, everything J.J. Kramer said checks all my boxes. Thank you for the call. I'm looking at some of the writers here on Wikipedia. Richard Meltzer was tremendous. Nick Tosh. Cameron Crowe. The screenwriter, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Almost Famous, did a bunch of Tom Cruise movies. Rick Johnson, I remember when Rick ran for Possum Queen. Bill Hochip, Dave DiMartino. I mean, these were the heroes of my youth. No doubt about it. They made me what I am today. Let's go to Paul and Ross. Paul, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark, what's going on?
What up, man?
Hey, so I was wondering if you saw that 30 for 30 on the rivalry between the Red Wings and the Avalanche in the 90s. I mean, I'm only 30 years old, so I thought that was pretty cool to learn about.
Yeah, I just talked about that. I haven't watched it yet. I don't like the fact that the rivalry was based on unexpurgated violence. You know, least Claude Lemieux basically taking Chris Draper's face off with that check from behind. I'll probably watch it at some point.
Yeah, I thought Burke they had Burke on there, Brian Burke. He kind of looked like a psychopath talking about how nobody was suspended from that March 26th bloodbath. All five guys were fighting each other. I just thought that was kind of interesting, too.
Every once in a while, Brian Burke will tell you what he really is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
Thank you for the call. Let's wrap it up. All right, off tomorrow. See you Wednesday. I'm off to fabulous Las Vegas, and there is only one way to rock, as Sammy Hager's going to tell me on consecutive nights. 105.9 The X.